This is a Parsha Shir. It is Friday morning, and it is Parshas Noach, but it's really a schus to be connected. Again, I was on the YU campus for 20 years. Again, it was 20 amazing years as a student, as a teacher, as a Rebbe. And as I said, I didn't leave. I came to Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. I loved YU. It's really a tremendous place. Everybody should have tremendous hatzlacha there. And then after you finish, come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's we're all waiting here. And Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to be today, tomorrow, but we all are waiting for you here. But as you're there in YU, just get the most out of it. It's an amazing, amazing place, the Rebbeim, the Chevra. So enjoy whenever you actually get to be back on the campus. And Hashem, we dive in for that. But either way, one thing that Corona has done was to clue us in that we could really teach Torah from wherever we are in the world. Like, why didn't we do these Zoom shiurim before? Okay, Kasha. But right now we have the opportunity. So let's spend some time doing some thoughts in Yonim of the Parsha. So I thought, being Friday morning, to be very lamaisa, give five or six thoughts that are repeat overable, maybe thoughts that could be taken not only this Shabbos, but thoughts that we could take with us and mention any time, and also for us to learn from it. I'd like to start off with two thoughts from Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro's yard sites on Sunday, Zion Cheshvan. How do you remember that? I don't remember too many yard sites. But I remember it's the day we start saying B'Sein Tama. It's Zion Cheshvan, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, the Marbitz Torah par excellence. He was the one that caused so much Torah to be learned. So therefore, always remember, Meir Shapiro, Zion Cheshvan, is his yard site. He's buried near here in Har Nuchot. So the first two thoughts are from him. The Gemara tells us in Zvachim Kuf Tes Zayin. I'll try to mention all the Makaros, so you can feel free to look it up after. The Gemara says in Zvachim Kuf Tes Zayin that when the Torah was being given, B'shas Maimed Ar Sinai, Sheshekinit Natara LiYisrael, Hayakola Holich Misofo Olam Atzofo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice, so to speak, Kaviyacho, was heard from one side of the world to the other side of the world. All the kings, the whole world was shaking. The whole world didn't know what was going on. The Amru Shira, and they started singing as if instinctively. The whole world started singing. From the Friday night, from Mizbar LaDavid. They didn't know what was going on. So they went to the smartest person that they knew at that time. Who was the smartest person? Bilam HaRasha. So they went to Bilam. The Medrash says Bilam was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu in Chachma. So they went to Bilam HaRasha, the Amrulu, and they said, what is going on? Ma kol ha-hamon asher shamanu. Shema mabul bala olam. Is there another mabul? Is like a Kadosh Baruch Hu bringing another mabul to the world, asks the Umos ha-olam to Bilam, Hashem la mabul yasha. Amar lahem, v'yashav Hashem elach olam kfar nishma Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sheni may be mabul olam. Hashem promised. Look in the Parsha. Hashem promised no more marble. They said, oh, no more marble of water. But maybe there'll be a marble of fire. Bilam says, calm down. Hashem says, no marble. Kfar nishma she'eino mashchis kobasar. So they say, okay, so what is it? Ma kol ha'amon hazeh she'shamanu. Amar lehem says, Bilam, to the umos ha'olam. Chemda tovo yoshli b'beis kinazav. There's a treasure. That's in Hashem's treasure house. That's been with him for 974 generations. Where does that number come from? Good kasha, not for now. Kodem Shinibra Olam. Torah is one of the seven things. The Gemara tells us it was created before the world was created. So Hashem has had this. And what's he doing? Hashem owes Lamo Yitain. Owes his Torah. Hashem's giving the Torah. They said, really? Oh, now we understand. Hashem Yivarech es Amo Bashalom. Ad kan Divrei HaGemara. And the Kasha Eas Ramir Shapiro is, why did they think it was a marble? Maimon Har Sinai, amazing, Torah being given. Ma Kesher, what's the connection? What's the connection between Maimon Har Sinai and the marble? Says Ramir Shapiro, and again, this is a thought that I've used many times, and it's something that has to do with our life. And it's the way maybe that we could get some chizik, especially also in this time period, that the whole world is in. The pasuk tells us in Yeshayahu, "V'gar ze'evim keves." When Mashiach comes, all the animals are going to get along. All the animals are going to be together and be nice to each other. amazing prophetic vision by Yeshayahu HaNavi. Asks Rav Meir Shapiro, it happened once before. What's the godless that Yeshayahu HaNavi is talking about? It happened on the Teva. It happened once before. This week's Parsha, all the animals lived together for a year on the Teva. Just last night, I was putting one of my children to sleep, my nine-year-old, and he says, how did the rhinoceros not break the walls of the Teva? How did the lion and the bears, and how is it? I'm like, okay, I could have sprinkled, kind of gave them like a little drug to calm them down. But either way, they were all there. They got along. So what's Yeshayahu HaNavi talking about? This amazing prophetic vision. It happened once before. Says Rav Meir Shapiro, it never happened before. What Yeshayahu HaNavi is talking about is not what happened on the Teva, because there are two types of Achdus. Achdus type one is Achdus Mitoch Ein Breira. Achdus Mitoch, there's no choice. There's a common enemy. You want to survive, you better get along with each other. That's not true Achdus. That's what happened on the Teva. What, the lions and the tigers and the bears all loved each other? No! They wanted to survive, so they had a deal. They had to work it out. Because when the tsaris, people come together, and animals come together, because you want to survive. What's Yeshayahu HaNavi talking about? When Mashiach comes, that's an achdus based on shared dreams, common aspirations, common goals, connections for the future, what they want to be together, Das HaKadosh Baruch Hu all over the world. That's what Yeshayahu HaNavi is talking about. That's never happened before. The Umos HaOlam see the Achdus of Klal Yisrael and Maimed Har Sinai. And they ask, is there another Mabul? Because that's the Achdus that they could understand. What other Achdus is there? You have a common enemy. You know, it's like teams. It's like now, the World Series is going on now, I think, right? I'm not holding really. But like sometimes your team is out, but there's one team that everybody hates. So everybody will root against that team. Is that really Achdus? No, you have a common enemy, so you root. That's not real Achdus. But they said, is there a Mabul? And Bilam says, no. Hashem owes Lamo Yitim. Hashem's giving the Torah. This is an Achdus based on Torah, based on shared dreams and common aspirations and a connection to Torah. And wherever one is in the world, they're going to be connected. And they say, wow, Hashem Yivarech Lamo Basham. Because that's an Achdus. Achdus type 2. That's what Yeshayahu HaNavi talks about, and that's the Achdus based on Torah. And that's what we have also. We could celebrate wherever a Jew is in the world. They're connected. You walk into a shul on the other side of the world. You know, you never think, in the days that we used to travel, you go in and all of a sudden you walk in like, hey, they're learning the same Parsha that I'm learning 6,000 miles away. It's like amazing. How is that, right? You can listen to a Daf Yomi Shir. You can listen to Torah from the other side of the world. Because Torah connects and Torah binds. And there's an amazing magical element to the Torah that binds everyone. I'll just add one more thought. That Torah not only binds people, but it also binds generations together. And then we'll get to the second thought of Rav Meir Shapiro. It can even bind generations. This is a separate thought. I mention this usually in my Haggadah Shir, but it's also something to remember. It's mentioned in the Haggadah of the Beis HaLevi. We say in the Haggadah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanas HaTorah LaMo Yisrael, Keneged Arba Abanim Dibra Torah. The Torah is Keneged Arba Abanim. The question is, what is that word Keneged? The Torah is Keneged Arba Abanim. Opposite? It explains that in the Beis HaLevi Haggadah. In every other area of study, remember, you have courses in college. There's statistics one, statistics two. There are prerequisites, and you build up. You build up every course, builds on the one beforehand. And if you have math, you have the first grader learns math and the fifth grader learns math and the high schooler learns math and the college student and the graduate student, you don't learn the same material. Be foolish for the eighth grader to have a second grade textbook, to have somebody who's getting a doctoral thesis to use the fourth grade book. No, it's impossible. Torah is Keneged Arba Banim. The same Rashi that the second grader studies, that the eighth grader studies, that the high school, that the greatest Rosh Yeshiva studies, we all get something different out of it. But the magic of Torah is that it speaks to every single Jew and every single one of us. Doesn't matter what stage and what age we're at in life. And that's the Achdus power of the Torah. like Rav Meir Shapiro talks about. They thought it was a marvel because they understand one type of achdus. It's a different type of achdus. Torah is ma'achid. And just by the way, I'll end with 30 seconds with this thought. If you ever have to speak at a, right, maybe we'll speak at some smicha students here. Maybe that's not just some college students, potential smicha students. If you ever have to speak at an engagement party, at an afruf, at a sheva brachas, this couple is connected achdus type two. This couple should live for so many years, 25th anniversary. This couple, this marriage has been based on the connection of Torah, the connection of Avodas Hashem, because that's true unity. That's something that will last forever and ever. And that's what we celebrate. This is a marriage of Maimon Har Sinai type of achdus. And that's what we're celebrating. Okay, so that's just relating to a simcha if one needs to. Second thought of Rav Meir Shapiro. As I mentioned in my shiur this year, but these are the two thoughts you have to mention this week. I don't know too many thoughts of his, but these are two. Noach was giving a Musar Shmuz for 120 years. That's a long time. Not one person was inspired. Not one. He didn't get through to one person. He didn't get through to Og. Og's head was on the teva. But nobody. How is that possible? After a couple of months, years, how is it possible that nobody was turned on? Second question. At the end of the parsha, as we know, towards the end of the parsha, we have the siman that we said before, the oath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Noah, that he's never going to destroy the world again, and he shows him a kesha, shows him a rainbow. Why dafka the rainbow? Why is the rainbow the most appropriate siman, the most appropriate oath to show? The Ramban is one creative thought. Doctor, it's an opposite of both. When you want to make peace and you want to show that you're not shooting anymore, so you bow around. So it's like a bow facing the ground. So it's as if Hashem is saying, I'm never going to destroy. Okay, that's the Ramban. But Rav Meir Shapiro says, maybe there's another idea. You know why? It didn't inspire anybody. It's B, that deep down, he didn't believe that he could be successful. He didn't believe that they really had the ability to be inspired and to come back. And if a teacher or a parent don't believe in the student, in the child, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be successful. ABCs of trying to inspire somebody is to believe in them and to make sure that they know that I believe in them. Noach must have thought they're too far gone. They're too mushchas, chamas, znus, gezel. They're too far. They're never going to do it. So he was talking, but his heart wasn't into it. And people could see right through it. And nobody was inspired. Kodesh Baruch Hu sends to Noach, sends him a kesha, sends him a rainbow. Why dafka a rainbow? What's a rainbow? On the dreariest, darkest, cloudiest day. It's dark, it's rainy. Could come the most beautiful array of colors that nature has to offer. Red, orange, green, blue, it's beautiful, gorgeous. Why is it? What else do we have? Like somebody runs in to the house. There's a rainbow outside, you see it? And we all run out. It's a halacha, you're supposed to say that. Okay, Simak, because Rabban wants to create, destroy the world. We're not getting into the halachos. I've seen Rabbanim though do it. Like, it's a beautiful, because Rabban made a beautiful rainbow. Okay, but either way, it's something beautiful and something special. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Noach, you think it's dark and dreary and it's never going to happen? The most beautiful array of colors could come from the clouds and the rain and the storms. Never give up on my people. Never give up on someone, Noach. That's the message of the rainbow coming through the dark clouds. So those are two thoughts from Rav Meir Shapiro. Another idea. I'm supposed to have like 20 or 25 minutes. So a couple more minutes. That's good. We'll keep going. I don't know who's in charge. I'm going to have a couple more thoughts. Rashi tells us Noach went into the teva be'etzem hayom hazeh. In the middle of the day. Be'etzem hayom hazeh. Perek zayin pasuk yud gimel. Ba'noach v'shem v'cham v'yefes b'nei Noach. They all went into the teva. Be'etzem hayom hazeh. Says Rashi. Limetcha kasuv shehayu bnei dora omrim. The generation of Noach were saying, Ilu anu roam ozo nechnas l'teva. If we see him go into the teva, anu shover noso, v'hargan oso. We're going to kill him. We're going to kill Noach. We're not going to let him in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh yeah? Try this. Be'etzam ayom hazeh. Noach goes in the middle of the day. Ani machniso le'ene kulam b'nira dvar miyaku. Let's see. Two thoughts. No, we'll get back to the Be'etzam ayom hazeh. Just one thought I mentioned in this year's Parsha Shir, from the Shemin Atov by Weinberger. Fascinating question. What do they say? If we see Noach going in, we're going to kill him. How would that have helped anything? Noach's been predicting that there's going to be a mabul. For 100 years, there's going to be a mabul. We're building a teva. Oh, yeah? Well, we're going to kill you. And then what? And then the mabul's going to come and they're all going to die. How does killing Noach help anything? The Etzam Ayom Azeh, Hashem brings the land of man and they say we're going to kill him. How would that help anything? So he gives two answers. He gives three answers. We're going to mention two. One answer that he says is that maybe they thought, now Hashem was destroying the world, but he wasn't starting again. He was going to save somebody. So Noach is going to be the one that saved. If we kill him, he's going to have to choose somebody else. If we kill him, what? He says, there's not going to be anybody. We'll kill out his family. Then what? Hashem won't be able to bring the Mabul. Maybe that was the Svara. Im Yavo Mabul, Shiashma says, Olam Kulo, Betach, Shiatzuk, Lehachi, says Noach, Lekim Amin. Okay, one is. Then he quotes another answer. A second, but the third answer reminds us of a stipler you're probably familiar with from Parshas Va'era. When somebody's, he's similar, but I'm going to take it a little bit. When somebody's angry and out of control, it's not that we always act logically. And you could always explain our actions. All they want to do is to do something for their anger right now. Noach, we're going to kill you. How would that help? It won't. It wouldn't help. But Noach wouldn't be giving us Mussar anymore. It'll help for that. I'm going to show Noach. But you're still, the mobile's still going to happen. That doesn't matter to us. When somebody's angry, when somebody feels violated, when somebody feels that, you know, I'm getting criticized all the time, just get out of here. Stop it already. They might do something that doesn't make sense. They would have killed Noach. It wouldn't have helped. But that's what happens. When we feel slighted, when we feel criticized, and we just want to get rid of the source of it. But you might take it a little, say it a little differently. When somebody's angry, when somebody's out of control, they don't really think. And they were angry. Stop it, Noach. You're getting on our nerves. You're telling us to be a mabul. You're telling us we're terrible. We're not. Remind us, remember the stipler on Parshas Va'era about the frogs. Rashi quotes, right? Every time they hit the frog, the frog split into two, and there were more frogs. They hit the frog, more frogs. So they ask the stipler, if they see that every time they hit the frog, there were more frogs, so just stop hitting the frog. Just stop hitting the frog. There won't be any more frogs. The answer is when you're angry and out of control, like, you can't stop. You can't stop. You just have to, like, just go and go and go. So they were out of control. They were angry. And therefore, they would have killed Noah, but not that it would have helped. But Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh, let's get back to that phrase. Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh, so the Torah tells us, Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh, they went into the Teva, and Hashem says, try it. Rashi here does not quote any other time that it says it, but if you look in Parshas Ha'azinu, Parshas Ha'azinu, it also says there, Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh, by Maftir. Hashem says to Moshe, Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh, go up to Har Ha'avarim Har Nevo, and there you're going to die. See Eretz Canaan, and there you're going to die. Rashi there quotes three times in the Torah. It says Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh, by the Mabul, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and by Misas Moshe. Those three. Why? So Rashi says by each one, the players at that time said, "Oh yeah, we're going to prevent it. We're going to prevent it, just like we just read. We're going to kill Noah." Oh yeah, Hashem says, "Watch this." Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim said, we're not going to let the Jews out. Hashem says, watch this. Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh. Moshe, which is the strangest one a little bit. We're not going to let Moshe die, B'nai Yisrael would say. No, watch this. So again, how do you prevent somebody from dying? No, it must be that he's only supposed to die up on the mountain. So if he never gets to the mountain, so he's not going to. Okay, Gemara and Sukkah like that. But that's Rashi. Rashi there in Hazinu says these three. There's a fourth. There's a fourth Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh. Maybe there are more. Yom Kippur. In Parshas Emor, Ta'anu Az Nafsho Seichem Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh. Could Yom Kippur connect to any way? Maybe one can suggest another idea of the connection between all these Be'etzam Hayom Hazehs. On this day, by all three that are mentioned in Rashi, it represented a transition in the world. What was before and after were very different. The world pre-Mabul and post-Mabul were totally different worlds. Before Yetzias Mitzrayim, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, a nation was born. It's a transition. It's a moment of transition. Moshe died. We're going from Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai to Masura Yoshua, a different generation. Totally different. Maybe one could say every Yom Kippur is a potential transitionary day in our life. What happened yesterday and what's going to happen tomorrow, totally different. Totally different worlds. Just like the other three are different worlds, Yom Kippur, if we take it seriously, it could be different worlds. We just have to view it like that. We have to make sure that we recognize the potential of every Yom Kippur. But one could maybe extend it. Adam Nidon B'chol Yom. Really, every day could be a transitionary day in our life. Every day can be different. What happened yesterday is not what happens tomorrow, right? Remember the Rambam Nilchus Tshuva. Every day, Rishus Kol Adam Nesuna. It could be different. What happened yesterday and what happens tomorrow. It might be one final thought. I know my time is running out. Yeah, one final thought that I heard this week. Actually, maybe some of you on the Rav Bitterman mentioned this on one of his shiurim. Says that Rashi quotes Noach had kids when he was very old. Noach had kids when he was very old. Why did he have children when he was so old? Right? Why Kadosh Baruch Hu give everybody else had children much younger? Why was so old? Let me just find the Rashi. If not, I'll just say outside. Says Rashi, that's my Yom Hazeh. Where does he mention the age? I don't remember which where it was, but he quotes Rashi quotes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so same Ma'ayano. Hashem did not let him have children until he was older. Why? Because what's going to happen? He's going to have a lot of kids, and then what? There's going to be a mabul. So if they're righteous, you're going to have to build a lot of tevis. If they're Rishon, he's going to see all his children being destroyed. Better that he shouldn't have children. Let him not have children for hundreds of years. Because that's part of my plan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So Rav Bitterman said, that's life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes. But imagine what Noah was thinking. I'm the only righteous guy in the entire world, and everybody else is having plenty of kids, and everybody else is building generations. And how old am I? 200, 300, 400. What's happened? I'm the only one that's following the word of God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have a plan. And it's Latovascha and Gamsa Latova, called David Rahman Latava. And that's how we have to view life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. You know, I think it's been easy for us over the past 7 months to realize that our plans are meaningless. We could have plans for tomorrow. We could have plans for Pesach, for the summer, for Sukkot, for anything. We could have plans for the semester. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. Rabos Machshavos Blevish. I don't know if there's a time in history that the entire world has felt that pasuk coming true. Rabos Machshavos Blevish Vatzas Hashem Itakum. But we know from this Rashi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan and it's L'tov Atenu. And all the challenges and any challenges that one has, whether one finds themselves having to try to learn all by themselves at home, whether one has stuff going on at home, all the things that quote unquote were messed up, was it a mess up? It was a difference. It was strange. It's hard for us not to feel that we're in control. Very personally, you know, I'm home every day. Not every day. I go to yeshiva. I leave 5 kids home on Zoom, you know, in different places and get calls every little while. It's just like mind-boggling. But Kadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. What it is, we're not privy to, but that's okay. Noach wasn't privy to it for 500 years. Yehi Ratzon that we have the patience and we have the stability and we have the emunah to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And the second that he says, Tzei min ha-teva, we'll be ready. We've been in our tevas for a long time. The second that he says to the world, you can go out now, it's okay. Bez Hashem, we should be zochet, be able to go out to share Torah in person in all different venues. But everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos. Again, thank the yeshiva for helping arrange this. And everybody should have a good Shabbos and a great start of the new Zman.
All right, thank you, Rabbi.